For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hey, welcome to episode number 177 of MSR Cast, our 10th year going strong. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
And I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
That's right. We both have those monikers in our title. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a little while. We're back. It's after the holidays, after my vacation, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while, actually.
The reason why we've been away is we've been really working hard at picking out our best of 2015 rewind episode.
Mm-hmm.
We've been studying and listening and
catching up on all the stuff.
Catching up. But 2016, I'm going to make a new year's resolution right now. More episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be ushering them out more.
That's right. A lot more specialty episodes, a lot more just new releases. And
yeah,
we might make them a little bit shorter just so we can get more out there.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Although I think it's just more of us just having this, like, you know, like we have all these ideas backlogged.
Yeah.
And we just have to schedule it and just get them done. You know, it's the holidays were rough. You were going out of town. Holidays, yes. You know, you obviously you're not going to record during the week of the holiday season. It's right. Crazy. So
we got it. Yeah. We're a couple of days away from New Year's as we record this. So, yeah. So this might be your New Year's listening pleasure.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And we actually had scheduled this recording before we had heard of the news that happened yesterday.
That is correct.
Which we would be remiss not to talk about first.
You want to go straight into that?
Yeah, we should talk about it.
So yesterday we lost one of the rock and roll and heavy metal greats, a living legend. We lost Lemmy.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it at first.
You know, when I saw the first tweet pop up in my feed, I was finishing up a Metal Pigeon thing, and I went to Twitter to take a break, and I saw it, and I was like, ugh. And I wasn't surprised, because I knew he had canceled the festival recently. They had canceled the last leg of the tour. And so I was just kind of like, I guess it was going to happen, but I didn't just, I thought it would be sometime in, you never expect it.
I had that same thinking feeling when I heard about Dio. I was like, oh,
yeah. And it's crazy that, I mean, everyone has their own personal, like, some people are bigger Dio fans than they are Lemmy fans, but everyone, right. The thing with Lemmy is everyone universally likes or has some sort of affection for Lemmy, no matter what style of metal you
right.
are.
Right. They're one of those unifying bands, no matter what you're into, even if you're not into heavy metal or rock and roll or whatever you want to call it. You at least like some songs from Motorhead. I mean, or Girl School even, you know?
Yeah, or you look at
Hawkwind.
Or you look at Lemmy and you understand that why he's important.
Yeah.
That he is an icon for a reason. Like, even if you're not super into their music, which I know a lot of fans, you know, I was in fact talking to a couple people today who were like, yeah, it's unfortunate he's gone. I wasn't that big of a Motorhead fan. I'm like, okay, I understand.
But here's my thing with that. You know why they weren't probably a big Motorhead fan? Because they didn't really listen to Motorhead.
Probably.
They didn't listen to a lot of their albums. A lot of people are like, oh, Ace of Spades, that's their thing.
That's all you need to know, man, yeah, that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, they have some really great tracks, some really good, like, deep, deep cuts. And that's what a lot of people... One of my favorite albums from the 90s was one of the Motorhead album, 1916.
Yes, I was just going to say that,
too. I love that album.
It's so severely overlooked when you talk about great Motorhead albums.
No, great albums of that era.
Yeah, 1916 was one of the more kind of darker, I would say, Motorhead records, and just fiercer. I don't know, there's something, just they were hitting on all cylinders with that one. Flash forward a couple more years into the 90s, and they released Overnight Sensation. To me, that I love that album so much. It became kind of my soundtrack when I was playing Quake 3, Gone Online. It was just like something about that album made me play better, you know? And I was I listened to that album to death over and over and over again.
And I've been listening, even before his untimely passing, I have been listening to the new album which is called Bad Magic. It's really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good tracks on there. I was listening again today, and there's a track on there that's very, it's a little bit slowed down, a little bit retrospective about his life ending and this kind of stuff. I'm like, fuck. Jeez. That's like listening to the Would the V-Pray album right after he died, and you're like, these lyrics are touching pretty close to home right now.
Yeah.
But I picked a song off the new album to play. We're going to actually, our first track of songs that we're going to get into this evening are all going to be Motorhead tracks.
Yeah.
You picked your favorite song off one of your favorite albums. I picked out one of my favorite Motorhead songs of all time. One of my favorite songs of all time. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It is, but it really is. And I like the Motorhead version best out of everything. And then we're going to play something new off the brand new album. So,
yeah, which I haven't heard at all.
You haven't heard the new album? It's really good.
Yeah.
Have you seen Motorhead live?
Yeah, and I've seen them like, let me see, it's four times amazingly live.
Really?
Because if I count seeing them at WrestleMania in 2001.
I have a story about that show.
I was there.
Okay. I wasn't at the WrestleMania show, but I was hanging out at a club that night. James Rivera from Hellstar, some local bands, they were doing like this food drive type of event.
Yeah.
And a couple of my friends, and Kim, my wife, was with me. And Lemmy just happened to be there at the club. Actually, most of Motorhead were there. And he was just sitting at this poker machine, drinking Jack, smoking cigarettes like he did every day of his life.
Right.
And people would go up to him, "Hey, Lemmy, how are you doing?" And he would mumble and say, "Oh, nice to meet you. And, thanks for being a fan," all this kind of, he was very nice to people. Wasn't like, fuck you, you know?
Right.
And I saw other people going up to him. What are the chances am I going to get in a club just to go up to him and say hello? So I did.
Oh,
that
nice.
That was my meeting with him, you know?
Yeah.
That was before phones with cameras. So
right.
Way before that.
Yeah, I saw him. I know I saw them do like a headlining show, and I can't remember if it was at Cardi's or if it was at the Engine Room. I feel like it was at Cardi's, but then I'm like, that's too small of a venue. So I've lost what I can't remember what venue that was, but I saw them headline, and I had a chance to say hello to them, but I was too intimidated, and I
don't remember how many times I saw them. The first time I ever saw them, this is a great story. Well, a great show. Do you remember the Operation Rock and Roll tour?
No.
This was like 1990 or 91, somewhere around there. It was one of my very first big, big metal shows. My parents and dropped me and my friend off at the Summit here in Houston, which is now a fucking church.
Yeah.
But whatever. We're not going there this time.
Was Skid Row on this bill?
No, Skid Row was not. Okay, check out this bill. It was Metal Church.
Yeah.
Dangerous Toys, Alice Cooper, Motorhead, and Judas Priest.
That's fun. That
was a fucking show.
Yeah.
My God. Nothing. That and the Clash of the Titans with Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Alice in Chains. Nothing lived up to those experiences in my mind for a long time.
Yeah.
Because that was just a fucking great show, you know?
Right, yeah.
They were all, is it a big place? I mean, I remember Rob Halford coming on his motorcycle during the Painkiller tour.
Right.
Everybody was like firing at full cylinders that night. It was great. And I remember, for some reason, that one song that sticks out in my head that from that whole entire evening was Badlands from Metal Church.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that live, that song. Man, I love that song.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was one of the... I saw them again a few times on Ozfest. Was it 98 or 99? I can't remember. I saw them a few times.
Probably, yeah.
And then I remember seeing them with... Who was it? Was Morbid Angel? And one other band, I can't remember.
Damn, I missed that.
Yeah.
Because when I saw them, it was just them and some like local bands.
Was it maybe Pantera, Morbid Angel, and Motorhead?
Wow.
I can't remember. Sometimes a lot of these shows sort of like...
It's all blending together,
blend together.
Wasn't Satyricon on that tour?
No, not on that tour.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No. But, yeah, I mean, they were a great fucking balls to the wall...
Heaven and Hell. It was Heaven and Hell, Testament, and Motorhead were on that bill, I believe. It was Heaven and Hell,
was
Judas
the Woodlands?
Priest, Woodlands, Pavilion, Big Outdoor Theater.
It was Judas Priest, Heaven and Hell, and Motorhead.
Motorhead.
Yeah.
But I could swear to God Testament was on that bill.
I don't remember Testament being on that bill.
Damn it. It was four bands on that bill.
Maybe it was Testament.
I think it was Testament.
Wow, that's a great fucking lineup too.
Yeah,
where are those lineups, man? Where? Come on.
I don't know. I feel like I saw them twice at the Woodlands, but maybe I'm just, I don't know. My memory's awful now.
So. I know, right?
I used to remember all these things. So,
like I've been saying, there needs to be a fucking website out there that has a list. You type in a band name, and it tells you every tour they've ever been on. You're like, oh yeah, I did see that band on that tour. I mean, that's
sure someone's listening to this going, you idiots, it's setlist.
No. I mean, going way back.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not setlist.fm, but yeah.
Have you looked at how long those guys like tend to go back?
Yeah, they do.
I was looking at Boing Guardian setlist a couple weeks ago for the show, and there were setlists as far back as like 1992.
Wow,
that's crazy, insane.
Yeah, let's get into our tribute to Lemmy,
yeah.
Mr. Ian Kilmeister.
We'll have to talk about that Boing Guardian show that we went to. A little bit.
We're gonna get to that
a little bit later on.
There's
yeah.
some new more news that came out about that show.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So first, let's get into a brand new track. This is called Victory or Die from the album Bad Magic 2015. Check it out, Motorhead. Rest in peace.
All right, let me ask you a question. What side are you taking to big David Lee Roth Van Halen split?
What do you mean? What kind of question is that?
What side did you take, Halen or Roth?
Van Halen.
He's a cop.
Oh, later,
Bacon.
Oink, oink.
It's strictly a judgment call. They sold a lot of records after Dave left the group. Come on, one more question. Hey, come on, just one more.
Right. Who'd win in a wrestling match, Lemmy or God?
Lemmy. God.
Wrong, dickhead. Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Yeah. Victory or Die! Watch out for the monsters in the alleys of the night. They're all
Come on up.
So you were just listening to a bunch of awesome Motorhead.
That's right, Motorhead or death.
Yes.
We just heard one of my favorite tracks of all time is a song called Hellraiser, and we heard the Motorhead version. The song has a weird history. It was co-written by Ozzy and Zakk Wylde and Lemmy, and it was originally done on the No More Tears album from Ozzy. And I think it was on with Airhead soundtrack or something like that.
Yeah.
And after that, like a year later, it was on the Hellraiser 3 soundtrack. Because what better song to have on a Hellraiser soundtrack than a song that had Hellraiser in the title? And they used Lemmy's version.
Yeah.
So we played the Lemmy's, the Motorhead version. From Hellraiser 3. Yeah. One of my favorite tracks, man. I love that song. It's catchy.
The Lemmy Ozzy connection, it's varied, and they kind of cross paths because they did another song too. I Ain't No Nice Guy After All.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Was that on March or Die? I think it was on March or Die. And they did like a version with him. I think the album version was just Lemmy. But they did something else where it was like a duet between him and Lemmy.
Him and Ozzy.
Ozzy, yeah. And I can't remember if that came out like on a separate compilation or what, but I actually, it's one of the rare times, I'm not the biggest Ozzy guy in the world.
I'm over Ozzy now, but.
It's one of the rare times where I actually thought like, man, that was a great, great vocal by Ozzy.
So let's look this up. Give me some like Jeopardy music while I look this up.
You know, I'm pretty sure it was on March or Die, but
I Ain't No Nice Guy. Here we go. Ozzy, Motorhead, and Slash.
Slash was on it. Okay, that's new to me. Or maybe I just forgot.
Track listing. Yay! Cat Scratch, Hellraiser.
Clearly, my memories.
Hellraiser was on March or Die. Was also the album it was on too.
Yeah.
Apparently, Slash was on a couple of songs on that album. Interesting. And they do a Cat Scratch Fever cover?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, the new album, yeah. Motorhead does a symphony, Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, really?
Which is, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite cover, but... Yeah, Ain't No Nice Guy, Lemmy featuring Ozzy Osbourne and Slash.
When did
the
new album come out? It's not recent, right?
No, it's pretty recent, yeah. Maybe trying to get a date on it. Maybe September-ish, October or August, maybe?
What's the problem with this 2015? Is just...
there's a lot.
I posted up my final reviews yesterday, and I still ended up cutting out like 20 albums I listened to, but I'm just like, you know what, it's... I don't feel strongly about them one way or the other, so forget it. I'm just going to say I just didn't get to them, basically, and just call
August 28th it came out.
Call it a year, August 28th. August and September were rough months for things. A lot of albums got kind of passed over.
It's a really good album, too, though. I mean, everybody needs to listen to it now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will go back and take a gander at it.
Yeah. What did we hear before Hellraiser?
From my favorite Motorhead album, Overnight Sensation, my favorite Motorhead song of all time, Crazy Like a Fox.
That's funny.
And so basically Motorhead's trajectory was that classic late 70s, early 80s golden period. Yeah. Then they sort of kind of declined for a while. And then they, in the early 90s, there was 1916.
Mm-hmm.
It actually got nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah. When Grammys sort of meant something for the metal field.
When they actually did mean something. Yeah, it was kind of prestigious. And they should have freaking won for that album because it was a spectacular album. And ever since 1916, I honestly feel like with varying dips in like, you know, this is okay or this is really good, but this is kind of back to average. They've been consistently good since that point. And Overnight Sensation was one of those albums where they were just coming off their rise. I think 1916 kind of sparked something within Lemmy. He was feeling kind of creative again.
I mentioned I thought that song was from Airheads. But you know what song was from Airheads?
What's that?
It was Born to Raise Hell. That's the track I was thinking of.
Okay.
And then it had that weird version with like Ice-T and the guy from like Ugly Kid Joe and shit.
Oh, Whitfield Crane?
Yeah, Whitfield Crane. You remember that?
You know, I got to be honest, Airheads is not a movie I go back to all that often.
Oh, I love Airheads, man.
I rewatch Wayne's World once every few years, and I find Wayne's World endlessly quotable, but Airheads, it was okay. It was, I think I would put it below like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey and Excellent Adventure in terms of my headbanger related movies of the early 90s. Airheads
are great. I saw that in the theater, man. Yeah. That was a great movie.
I was listening to the Alex Winter interview on The Nerdist this past week.
Yeah.
And he said that he was going to, that they're actually going for the new Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I heard that. I've been reading some of the comic books. So yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
We're going to have a Bill and Ted resurgence finally. And
apparently it's going to be set like in the modern day too. So like I don't know how they're going to do the phone booth situation or like what's the angle going to be?
TARDIS. They're going to use a TARDIS.
Right, yeah.
Hey, it's a blue now.
Yeah.
So there's our tribute to Lemmy. It was sort of shocking news. I mean, I read an article from his manager that, you know, he just had his 70th birthday last week. I was actually in LA near the area when it happened. I wish that would have been cool to go to it. And he his birthday was like the 24th, and like 2 days later he wasn't feeling well, so they took him to the hospital, and they found a huge cancerous tumors in the back of his neck and his head.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, here's your outcome. You have 4 to 6 months to live. And he died 2 days later.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Apparently he was like playing a video game or something at home when that happened.
That's a good way to go.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm just glad he was at home and kind of, you know.
Comfortable in his environment. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. It
still sucks though.
And so there's that.
That gives me hope that I'll be 70 still playing video games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing I was watching the reaction on Twitter last night, just, you know, on and off, and people were kind of going through their outpourings of grief and anguish and stuff. And there were some people kind of arguing with each other about like how much grief to show and why don't you celebrate his life instead of being sad about it? But you can't police how people deal with someone's loss, you know?
Right.
Some people are going to be sad. Some people are going to say, well, they're going to be more positive about it and go like, well, he, you know, he lived such a full life. We should celebrate his life and not be sad. But let people be sad, let people be have anguish, let people be angry about it or whatever. I mean, the thing with Lemmy that there are no crocodile tears with Lemmy. I think that everyone genuinely feels like that's unfortunate. That's such a loss, you know? I'll be honest. I mean, I feel that it's a loss, but it didn't emotionally affect me as much as the Ronnie James Dio situation affected me, where I was like inconsolable for about a few days after that happened. Like, I just didn't want, if anyone mentioned anything about Dio, I would glare at them like, you better say something respectful or we're going to fight, you know? And I know that if something had happened to, say, Bruce Dickinson this year,
yeah,
it would have been that
it
way
could have
for
happened
me.
To Bruce.
Right. You know, I get when some people seemed really emotional about it, and I was just like, okay, let them kind of go through their thing, let them say whatever they had to say without having to respond back with some sort of snark. Like, let people be, let them say what they have to say. Don't have to engage them. Just kind of let them air it out and vent it out. Because this is a time when metals needs to come together. Like, there needs to be like, no, I don't give a fuck if you played power metal or death metal or whatever you play. Everyone kind of looks at Lemmy and goes, that's an origination point. Yeah. That's where they were peers of Maiden and Def Leppard and all these bands. And they were such an important apocryphal band. And they were a new wave of British heavy metal. They were important to Metallica. They were important to all these bands. They were important to us.
Because the first Motorhead album was 1977.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the beginning of heavy metal right there.
Yeah. I mean, well, when you look at the roots of heavy metal, one of those roots starts at Motorhead, I feel.
I agree.
Because he took, like, stuff that he left Hawkwind because he said that it wasn't aggressive enough, that he was, you know, he wanted a band that was louder, faster, you know?
Louder and faster than everybody else.
The infamous press clipping that he was going to create the dirtiest band in the world, and he succeeded.
Yeah. Definitely did.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I've been like the biggest Motorhead fan, that I've been like listening to all their, I have grown attached to a few albums in their discography.
I'm exactly the same way you are. And they influence so many bands. Most of the bands that you enjoy now,
yeah,
ranging from Metallica to a lot of like black metal bands, and
yeah,
the way the picking style is and the everything, everybody, no matter what you have to say, everybody owes a little bit of influence to Motorhead.
If one of your favorite bands is a band that was influenced by Metallica, then you are indebted to Motorhead in some way. True. So I don't know. I just
I was gonna say Metallica did that Motorhead tribute album. They did covered a bunch of songs. They were really great.
Yeah, I'm with the irony, we were talking about the Grammys earlier. That Motorhead won the Grammy, finally won a Grammy for their cover of a Metallica song.
Oh, that's right, they covered Enter Sandman.
And just another, we had to do like a micro segment one day on a show about all the times the Grammys have wronged metal, and we'll just have a list and stuff.
Yeah.
And so not giving them the award for 1916 was not nominating them for Overnight Sensation, I feel, was a mistake. And then they were nominated for Hammered, I think, in like sometime in the mid 2000s.
I don't know if I remember that album.
They didn't get
that
award either. It's like, God damn it, you idiots.
You idiots.
Give it to Metallica again for better. They're better than you from Reload. It's like, what are you doing?
So let's move on from the nonsense that is the Grammys.
Yeah.
It's still winter time out here.
It's
now in the 40s here in Houston.
On
Christmas Day was like 80 something degrees.
I don't know where people are listening to this, but in Houston on Christmas Day, I was driving around and my thermometer inside my car read 87 degrees. What?
I know. So, what better way, what better band and what better song to get you into the wintry, you know, sullen mood?
Yeah.
Brand new Bortnagar album just came out.
Yeah.
The album is called Winter Thrice. I fucking adore this album. It's really good.
I love the two Winter songs.
You need it. The whole album's really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the duel.
It's just such a relief to, and I know we said this before on the previous episode, mm-hmm, but it's such a relief that Vinterstorg sounds like you would expect Vinterstorg to sound, you know? Like after the, I don't know if people are aware, but he had a pretty bad accident. He was like helping a friend move and he fell off a ladder and hurt his head and had to go through a couple of procedures to, you know. And then I think it was like there was fluid and there was swelling. So he's recovered slowly over time, but he's had to regain some speech functions and cognitive functions like that. It's like, wow, that's really scary to read about. But then you hear him on this album, you're like, well, he sounds pretty damn good.
He's
here.
He's awesome. So, I mean, you have Vinterthorg and Vortex both singing on this album, as well as, what's the other guy, Oystein?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, triple threat of amazing powerful vocalist, man.
Yeah. I like how they really, like, there's something simple about this song too, like relative to Borknagar. It's, there's some kind of simplicity going on where you can see they're kind of continuing on with the thing they started on Urd, which was letting more of the straight up melodies come up to the surface, you know.
I mean, how they're progressive black metal, definitely.
Yeah.
They're a very overlooked band in my opinion.
Yeah, but they're such a dent, like, you know, some like an album like Empiricism.
Yeah,
I totally get it if someone who's well versed in metal listens to that album and goes, I don't get it. See, it sounds like I'm hearing like a bunch of different instruments playing different things, like not in conjunction. Because it's such a dense listening experience, it takes like 30 listens to really unfold one of those early complex Borknagar albums.
Yeah,
Quintessence is the same way, a little bit easy, a little bit more accessible. But
yeah,
like Epic and Empiricism were difficult albums to get into.
I don't know if I agree on Epic.
There was the single that they released for it was pretty easy and accessible, but everything else was. And a lot of that came with Vinterstorg, I feel like, because mm-hmm. Vinterstorg was getting into more of his progressive stuff at the time.
Yeah.
And I think he sort of seeped into.
Oh, he definitely did.
But now it really does seem like they're finding their balance. They really found it with Urd. I can't stress how amazing that album was.
And this album definitely continues that trend. It's it's so beautifully harmonic, and it's a great freaking album. The video for this song is great.
I like the video.
They're just sitting around a fire, singing around, and playing their instruments and shit. It's pretty funny.
I'm glad that they really went with a kind of a low budget concept. Yeah. And because they went with a low budget concept, it doesn't look low budget at all.
It looks beautiful. Yeah. It's wonderfully shot. The colors in it are really, it gives you that. The color palette that they chose has like that wintry feel to it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So go look up the video too.
It does sort of remind me of a Nightwish video from the Dark Passion Play album, where they had a song. I think the I Wonder was a song where they were sitting around a campfire singing that song. But still, I mean, that's a great motif. More metal bands should be doing that. More campfires, you know?
Right, more s'mores in your metal videos. So let's get into Winter Thrice. And this is from the brand new Borknagar, or how you call him?
Borknagar.
Borknagar?
Yeah.
Here you go. We'll be right back.
Forces of the inevitable, the reigning union of Thank you.
Welcome back to episode number 177 of MSRcast. I am Kerry, the Metal Geek, along with...
Hey, I'm Sean, the Metal Pigeon.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was weird.
I'm trying to wake myself up. I'm having a little trouble here.
You needed another piece of chocolate with Hatch green chilies
yeah,
in it.
That was intense.
Are you feeling the misery?
No, it's fine. It was just like when it was... It's this dark chocolate with Hatch chili, like... It doesn't burn until like 7 seconds after you've eaten it. You're kind of like, that wasn't hot at all. Oh, wait.
There it is.
Yeah.
You didn't feel the misery?
The misery? Yeah, I felt it a little bit.
Good, because that's the song we just heard.
My Dying Bride released an album this year, a long time ago, apparently.
Yeah, earlier in the year?
It was like in September or October or something.
Was it that late?
I've listened to a lot of things.
It's a good album too. It really is.
Well, I just kind of feel bad that like a major band like this released an album. We didn't talk about it until now and the year's almost over. But that's kind of what this year has been like. 2015, there's been more releases than I really knew what to do with.
Yes.
And this was one of them that kind of got lost in the shuffle. But I in the past month and a half, I've been taking listens to it every now and then.
It's the newest album, the last time they put it out was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And this one...
It's their 12th studio album.
This one was...
Came out September.
Something about it is a little lighter in tone, I feel like. But it's definitely still My Dying Bride. I guess maybe their vocal melodies are just a little brighter, it seems like. I don't know if you're getting the same thing from it, but... I like it. And Feel the Misery.
It's a well-executed and classy doom album. They don't really stray from what the classic My Dying Bride sound is.
Yeah.
It's not a 34.788%, whatever.
Right.
It's classic. It's exactly what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I appreciate. Long tracks. It's doomy. It's emotional. It's a great freaking album.
Yeah.
Top 10? Maybe not.
Well, this is just a crowded year, basically. There was a lot of...
Very crowded
there
year.
There were a lot of great albums that came out this year.
There's a lot of albums that came out and sort of, like, surprised the fuck out of me that I love them so much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the track we heard was Feel the Misery, which is the title track from the album. You know, they haven't had much of a, like, a lineup change, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Which is great.
Yeah. The thing with My Dying Bride, I think, is that they don't really seem to get around to Houston that much.
I think the only time I've ever seen them live was like at a Milwaukee Metal Fest 1 year.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it was like, 20 minutes of them. It's like...
It doesn't seem like they're hitting the States that often.
No.
Because I feel like I'd be paying more attention to them if they were.
I agree.
But...
So have you seen any movies recently?
Yeah, well, I saw this Star Wars movie that everyone keeps talking about.
Is that some like indie movie or something? I've never really heard of that.
It was experimental, avant-garde filmmaking.
Yeah. Yeah, like The Hateful Eight.
I did a Metal Geeks like about a month and a half or a month ago or something.
Yeah.
And you guys were saying, and I remember like kind of like going, oh man, that really sucks. So I guess I'll wait to see the movie. You guys were saying 2 weeks. You might have to wait like a week or so before you can actually see this movie. And I thought like, oh, okay.
Well, I think what happened is every fucking movie theater opened up every possible showing to this movie.
It did seem like it because I wasn't even planning on going, but my friends of mine went that Thursday night, the Thursday evening.
Yeah, that's when I went the first time.
And so that Friday, the next day, I'm talking to someone. I'm going like, you already saw the movie? Are you kidding me? Like, how'd you get tickets? I'm like, I just went up there and bought them. I'm like, what? So I bought them on my phone. And like, sure enough, I got, you know, Star Wars tickets on the day of, and I went to go see it in the theater Friday, the opening weekend.
Right.
And the theater is like half empty. And I'm kind of looking around. Like, I went to the this big AMC First Colony over there in Sugarland, and it's
We go to the AMC Fountains over here. This is totally getting away from metal. Segue. I like it because you can actually reserve your seats online, and every single seat reclines.
Oh, that's nice. Actually,
you need to go there, dude.
Okay, that's where I'll go next. But yeah, I was kind of stunned that like. And my thought initially was that people have hyped themselves out of going the first weekend.
No, there were just so many showings of it. People,
because obviously they made. I saw the record breaking numbers. They've
broke $1 billion.
Yeah, like okay. Point made. I think
Disney's made their money back.
I just couldn't believe I was in the theater watching the freaking Star Wars movie on Friday night, 8:55 p.m. showing, and the theater was like half empty. I was looking around, going like, is this really happening? I thought it'd
that
be
is
like,
strange.
I thought it'd be next to people like uncomfortable.
Maybe everybody was in the Chipmunks movie.
Maybe. There was a Bollywood movie playing like right next to us.
Really?
And there was this kid with his mom, and he just kept on looking at our line. Like we had a little line forming to get into the theater as soon as they were finished cleaning it.
Yeah.
And I saw him like basically like trying to plead with his mom, like, come on, can I just go in there? And she's like, no, come on back in here. It's just like, I felt so bad for that kid. I'm
gonna go see Star Wars, Mom.
Getting dragged back into like a Bollywood
movie. Go see The Hateful Eight in 70mm the other night with George, who is one of my co-hosts on Metal Geeks podcast. Here's what I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to talk about the movie. I'm going to talk about my experience. The Hateful Eight, the way Tarantino wanted it to be, they had a retrofit 70mm screens in the theaters, right? Actual real film.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Everything is digital now. They did not have the correct people to run these films. Most places in the country. So like where we went was like an Edwards theater, you know?
Right.
And the first 20 minutes of the movie was out of fucking focus. It was not. And that's the first 20 minutes of the movie. It's all the sweeping, beautiful, wide 70mm shots, you know?
Right.
With the snow and the mountains, and it was like it was out of focus, and I could see the actual frames jittering on the screen, but I was embedded into the story at that point, so I was like, I'm just not gonna get up and go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
But they did, and it's funny, there was no trailers for any other movies, no commercials, none of that crap. They did an overture in the beginning of it, and they went into the movie, and there was an actual intermission in this movie. Like a 10 or 15 minute intermission.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
They give you like a timer or anything like that? Or?
No, not really. I didn't go anywhere, but they actually gave you a guidebook, a program guide, when you walked into the movie.
Huh.
It was definitely a theater going experience.
Yeah. That's cool, I guess.
Worthwhile. I definitely go through the movie. It's fun.
Are they not going to show it just like normal? Like
no. Yeah, starting this week, it'll be normal theaters.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere. Yeah. It opens wide, digital, so... Yeah. Another movie that I saw last week at home, actually, was Deathgasm.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this yet?
No.
Holy crap, dude. You have to see this. If you're a metalhead and you love horror movies, this is the fucking movie for you. It's made in New Zealand, right? It's a loving tribute. They don't, here's heavy metal. They make fun of it. No, it's a tribute to being metalheads as a young teenager. It reminds me, it's very gory, it's gorific, but it has that feeling of like The Evil Dead. like two at least.
Yeah, cool.
So it's a very fun movie. The music in it is pretty awesome. They have some Esan in there, some Emperor. There's a couple bands that I never heard of. A lot of New Zealand bands. There's a band called Skullfist, which I'd never heard before.
Right.
And George pointed out during the movie we were watching, he's like, oh, I like this band. I'm like, I fucking dig this band too. I went back and listened to, they're on Spotify, so I went back and listened to their albums. It reminds me of, Thrashy, Dream Evil meets like Dangerous Toys. It's definitely 80s style.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thrashy Dream Evil is a great concept.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really cool. Thrashy Dream Evil is Dangerous Toys.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, actually.
A little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That 80s, like glammy style to it a little bit.
Music only, not really in the lyrics.
No, not so really.
Much. Yeah.
They do have some lyrics that are definitely, you know, we love heavy metal and all this kind of stuff. That's right. Where I get the Dream Evil, you know. Right. Yeah, that so cheesy, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, nobody beats Snowy Shaw with lyrics.
Yeah.
So let's get into a track from Skullfist.
Okay.
This is, the song is called Bad for Good. This is the actual song in the
Deathgasm movie. Same with a Scorpion song, too.
Yeah. Deathgasm, I believe, comes out on Blu-ray in a couple weeks, like January 7th, something like that. So,
is it on like streaming or anything?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. So it definitely worth, if you're a heavy metal fan, you're a horror fan, definitely check out this movie. It's great. One of the main characters in the movie, when you first meet him, he's wearing a fucking Blasphurion shirt. I was like, what the fuck? That's crazy. Blasphurion is a band that actually, I know most of the guys in the band. One of the guys lives about 5 minutes from my house. From
oh,
the band.
Really?
Yeah. And the guy who, this guy, Daniel Shaw, used to do artwork for Mainstream Resistance back in the day. He did covers and logos and shit like that for us. He was the one who drew that shirt they had in the logo in the shirt in the movie.
Nice.
And the same character, most of the movie, he's wearing a Death t-shirt. The Death logo shirt.
Yeah.
It's great, man. It's great. Cool. Perfectly.
Nice.
All right, so let's get into this. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. down and out, cold and drowned, feeling tortured. A man within, but not without, my misfortune. I ran enough to get this far, but my days are numbered. Far enough to tempt the gods, I hear the thunder. How I got here, I don't know. There's a reason that I'll always be alone.
You were just listening to Circle to Circle.
We were.
Yes. And
Crop Circle to Crop Circle.
Crop Circle to Crop Circle. It's Untold Dreams from their recent album that came out like a couple months ago.
If it's untold. Yeah. If it's untold, he just sang about it in a song. So it's really a told dream at that point.
Yeah. Well, sometimes he gets confused, I guess.
I'm a huge fan of Zach Stevens. Yeah. I've had him on the show before. You know, me and you are both huge Sabotage fans. Yeah. So, but here's my thing about Circle to Circle albums. Sometimes they're hit and miss. There's some good tracks, and sometimes they're not so good tracks.
The first two Circle to Circle albums were largely written by John Oliva and Chris Caffrey.
So were the first couple of Chris Caffrey solo albums.
Right. But then that's why they're so good.
Yeah.
Those first two Circle to Circle albums are, I think, like, really freaking good. Like, unimpeachable, great melodic metal. After that, something just fell off your wall.
Something fell.
After that, it was him and his bassist, I think. I can't remember the guy's name right now, but he kind of filled in the role for Oliva and became the main songwriting partner. They do write good songs. Like, every Circle to Circle album has at least two or three, like, all right, yeah, put this on your iPod type thing. But the rest of the album just sort of skates by a little bit.
Yeah.
And I will always listen to every new Circle to Circle album just because I love Zach Stevens so much that I feel like he deserves that at least.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But everything kind of got wild, you know.
I haven't listened to this album yet, so.
Well, with Zach Stevens, it was just sort of like, I think he released this like right after the Vakken thing happened.
Okay.
So everyone's all high on Sabotage, and Circle to Circle's album just sort of slips underneath the radar for a lot of people. I didn't really hear much talk about it anywhere or many reviews about it or anything like that. So kind of like a little shout out to Zach Stevens, kind of the unsung hero of Sabotage, I feel like, a lot of times, you know.
You get it unsung because Untold Dreams?
Yeah.
No, he's not an unsung. He's a sung hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great fucking vocalist. John Oliva, man, a living legend that does not get enough respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There would not be a TSO without John Oliva.
Yeah. The people who really love TSO don't even understand what they're listening to.
I had this conversation at work one day. They were jamming TSO.
Right.
And I'm like, do you even know who they are? No.
No. Like, most people don't.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, it's one of my favorite bands transformed into a money-making machine.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So let's talk about 2016. It's coming up. We're a couple days away as we record. Any upcoming releases you're looking forward to?
The big one right out of the gate is the new Avantasia album. That one already leaked, apparently.
And there's a hole in it or something? Maybe. What do you mean leaked?
It leaked. In terms of being illegally made available
for download.
In fact, I think someone freaking put it on Bandcamp or something.
Oh, really?
And I heard it got taken down. But anyway, like, it's one thing just to throw it up on a torrent site. Another thing to put it up on Bandcamp and just kind of like, do you want money for this or what's going on? So I don't know. I'm still dealing with 2015. I'm going to wait a couple weeks before I listen to it. But, I'm looking forward to Avantasia. And I'm just sort of, like, glad that I can put this year behind me where I feel like I was always behind on listening to new stuff.
I think 2016 is going to be the same way, though.
But you know what? I think it's going to be a little bit more evenly paced where it's not going to just I fell behind right away in 2015. It just... I got bum rushed, basically.
I mean, we have a lot of stuff to look forward to. Let's see, is it the new Anthrax album?
Coming out really soon,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, February. The new Megadeth is coming out. I'm looking at a list which is on loudwire.com. There's an Autopsy. Ex Mortis has a new album coming out. Let's see here. The Shrine, never heard of them. Varg has his album coming out. A new Witchcraft album. Taking a Bass has a new album coming out. So apparently he's lost most of his band already.
Yeah, that guy can, he'll find musicians in his sleep, that guy.
Yes. Let's see what else is coming out.
I can't wait for that album, by the way.
I hope it's good. That comes out January 22nd, the same day as the new Megadeth, which is pretty interesting. Let's see, new Primal Fear comes out in January, new Avantasia. This is all just January. The new Dream Theater double concept album comes out very, very soon.
Hmm.
Let's see. Serenity. Aren't you a big fan of them?
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that one, actually.
A new Brainstorm album, which I do have the promo for that, and I've listened to that.
Andy B. Frank.
Yeah, I love Andy B. Frank's vocals, man.
Andy B. Frank.
Such a weird name, but such a great vocalist. I actually prefer Symforce a little bit better.
You know who he reminds me? Well, when I listen to Andy B. Frank, I'm kind of reminded of Zach Stevens a little bit. Just kind of like a heavily accented Zach Stevens.
Yeah, I can see
same
that.
Same kind of timbre in their voice, you know?
Let's see. In February, we still have, a new Prong album, Rhapsody of Fire. Textures has a new album coming out. Holy Grail, which is like one of those retro thrashy things.
I remember seeing him live once.
We saw him open up for Devin Townsend, wasn't it?
I don't think I was there. I saw them open for someone else. I can't remember.
Are you a Delane fan? Because they have a new album out.
Well, I liked their last album quite a bit, so.
So February 26th, we have Anthrax, Anvil, Entombed, AD has a new album coming out. Headspace, whoa. I haven't heard that band in a long time.
Hmm.
They were really good. A new Omnium Gathering? I didn't even know about that. Did you?
No, I had no idea. I honestly have not really looked at 2016 yet.
We have in March, we have a new Beseech album. Ripper has a new album coming out. Let's see. Band that I know you like, Soul Asylum.
Soul Asylum.
This is just, man, there's so many. Yeah. Just in the first few months of this year, so many great albums coming out.
What is Soul Asylum doing on that list?
I don't know. I have no idea. They're right between Rotten Sound and The Treatment.
I will say this.
I think of Soul Asylum every time I think of Rotten Sound.
Who's a Soul Asylum guy? Dave Perner?
Yeah, I think so.
That's him. Okay, yeah, he did a duet with Sharon Den Adel on the last Within Temptation album.
Oh, yeah, I heard that song.
It's not bad. It was pretty good. Yeah, yeah. I'll give him credit.
I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting.
Too bad the rest of that album blew, but...
Yeah. Isn't the song with like Exhibit or something?
Oh God, it was so it was awful. It was a wretched album.
So this has been rumored for a long time. This is all over the metal hemisphere. There's some band. They were really popular in the 80s. They might be sort of getting back together. A portion of them are getting back together for a shitload of money.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't excite me at all.
It does to me a little bit because I'm just glad that Axl and Slash are talking again.
Oh, yeah, Guns N' Roses. Let's mention Guns N' Roses.
But everyone knew who we were talking about. But you got to have Duff on board because Duff is kind of the glue between Axl and Slash.
Right.
But I swear to God, if they do this without having Izzy on board, just talk to the guy and say, Izzy, we'll just have fun. No pressure. No, all we're going to commit to are these shows. That's all we're going to do. And just come out and have a good night with your friends. Just all you have to do is show up to the venue. You don't have to see us. Come on stage.
Is he or isn't he?
Well, you know, Izzy Stradlin to me is the most important member or most overlooked important member of their classic lineup because he was kind of not only in music, musicianship wise, just what he did in the band in terms of being the rhythm guitarist and keeping everyone in the line. But I think that he's sort of, it doesn't feel like a proper reunion without him.
What about Adler? You have to have Adler. I know they're going to go for Matt Thorm, right?
Adler on the Josta podcast said that if there was a GNR reunion, he would be the last person to know. And he probably was the last person to know. And
even if they do a cool thing where they have Matt Thorm play most of the show, and then they have Adler come in and do like two or three songs. That'd be awesome.
I thought they would just do Adler doing Appetite songs, and then Matt Thorm doing Illusion songs.
Right.
Apparently, the way it's being, the rumor is that the Guns N' Roses is going to headline Coachella. And it's all but confirmed.
And it's supposed to be a headline tour as well, like a stadium tour.
Yeah, when you throw words like stadium around, they need to realize like. Not even NFL football teams are selling out stadiums these days. So calm down on the stadium bookings. You know, like maybe play like the basketball arena or something. You know,
well, like, that's pretty much what they are now. You know,
right? I mean, it's just stadium tour is nice to look in a press release, but I feel like they're going to be playing if they come to Houston.
Did you ever see Guns N' Roses live?
I got to see them as a youth, and I have no memory of it.
Really?
Yeah.
What show was it?
With Metallica.
Was it that big show?
It was in California.
Oh, I was at the show here at the Astrodome.
Yeah.
It was like Faith No More, Guns N' Roses, and Metallica. All I remember, it was a big fucking wall of sound.
Yeah.
It was like an echoey wall of sound. It was crazy.
Yeah. I wanted to see them when they came through here on the Chinese Democracy.
Nobody wanted to see that long
tour, but I think, I don't know, I just kind of like...
Nobody wanted to see that show.
I was half-hearted about it.
Nobody even wanted to hear that album.
You know what? I will always say that I understand why that album gets made fun of so much, but when you actually just listen to it as just an album by some band, and you listen, you're like, this is actually really good.
You know, I met Bumblefoot a couple years ago at a work thing. I used to work at a local TV station here in Stafford, Texas.
Oh, the Chili Fest.
The Chili Festival. And yeah. I was like, why is Bumblefoot here? But he works for, he has his own brand of like chili vodka. Or no, was it rum? Or I can't remember what it was.
Right.
It was vodka because he was making margarita. It was tequila. That's what it was. Like chili flavored infused tequila. And he had this margarita that he was selling. Really fucking good, too. But I did a quick interview with him. I think I might have played that back in the day. But him, it was weird. They had this impromptu band put together because they had a stage set up there at this festival. And it was a couple guys I didn't know, but it was Bumblefoot on guitar, the bass player from Venomous Maximus, and then James Rivera on vocals from Hellstar.
Wow.
It was a crazy show.
Yeah.
I have video footage of that somewhere because that was the only... I videotaped the whole damn thing.
He seems like a cool guy.
He was very cool, actually. Yeah.
Interviews and everything, he seems like he's got his head on straight, you know?
I mean, your name's Bumblefoot. You have to have your head on sort of straight.
So I guess this means that, like, Tommy Stinson's out, basically, because if Duffy's going to come back, I guess... I don't know. I think Stinson will be fine with that. But, yeah, I'm just sort of like, so are you going to have, like, Paul Huge doing the rhythm guitars? Who?
It seems like you know a lot more about GNR than
I do. He's Axl's childhood friend who's basically been in the quote unquote in the band for a while now.
This reunion doesn't excite me?
Why?
It's because I've seen video footage of Axl Rose in the past 5 years and it's fucking horrendous. He cannot hit a note. He's bad.
Yeah,
it's like David Lee Roth now. Oh, I'm gonna get a lot of hate mail, but
there are some moments I've seen in like recorded things on YouTube where I see like, okay, he sounds good here or something.
He needs to go back into training.
He has good nights and he has bad nights, it seems like. But yeah, he needs to do a little bit of
vocal training, man.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Or if he's smoking or whatever, if he's doing something, he needs to stop.
He needs to drinks like honey tea or something.
I mean, obviously he's a lot older, so I get you kind of cut him some slack. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to do a reunion thing with Slash, kind of, I hope he does try to prepare for it. Yeah, bring the A game, that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to see the five guys back on stage. I just want to see them actually together for a picture.
Yeah.
Can we just get a picture of you guys? That would be enough for me. Just like...
Play two songs. Play Sweet Child of Mine and Welcome to the Jungle. Just have Izzy. That's all you need.
You know what? Okay, so Izzy isn't a part of the show, but he just comes in. He's there. He does like a cameo on like... on like Dust and Bones or something, some Illusion track that he was a vocalist on. Just have him do that, and then maybe have Ador come on stage and do a song. Just give the fans that moment of closure of like, okay, it's over.
Throw the fans a bone and throw your ex-members a bone.
I heard, so some festival apparently, now that the news is out about this, and it's not confirmed yet, but the other news is that they had asked for $8 million from a festival that said, basically, no, we can't afford $8 million. You'll bankrupt us.
Right.
$8 million for one band? That means you have no other bands in the daytime except for, like, a couple of other mid-level bands and then Guns N' Roses. So the festival starts at 5 o'clock, not at 11.
Yeah.
You know?
Or a three-day festival.
And then that's the last festival. Because if you're paying $8 million for one artist... You essentially just, you can't pay everyone else, so you're going to bankrupt the entire festival. That's why they said no.
I would say no, too. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous. Million,
yeah, come on.
Monopoly money, maybe, but not real money.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our next track. This is something that you brought to the table.
Oh, yeah, this band, whose name I always say wrong in my mind, too.
Yeah.
Kailessa?
That sounds right to me.
Kailessa.
Kailessa.
Yeah.
And not that K-Y.
It's just one S, Kailessa. So they have an album out this year called Exhausting Fire. I don't know anything about this band. this is the first time I've really listened to them. They've been around since 2001 or 2002. Mm-hmm. They're from Savannah, Georgia.
It's southern, doomy, you know,
sludgy
sort of stuff. Yeah.
Weird, spacey metal. And they're basically a three-piece. They've been like a five-piece in the past, I think. Right now, they're a three-piece drummer. The one of the rare things that I like about this band is that they have a female and male vocalist. They both kind of sing. They trade off lead vocals.
Mm-hmm.
But the dude is the bass player. She's the guitarist. I think her name is Laura Pleasance. She's actually the guitarist and the vocalist, which is, to me...
Laura Pleasant. That's correct.
When there's a rock band with a female member in there, she's usually playing the bass, you know?
That's true.
And I don't know, that's probably generalizing, but it's something I've noticed, like, is just a thing that happens. But this is a rare example of a rock band where there's two guys in the band, one girl, the girl is the guitarist, and she is a fantastic guitarist, like, inventive, just unusual sounds she can create. And she's a great vocalist, too. She kind of reminds me of, like, Mazzy Star-type vocals, but a little more aggressive.
They're apparently, just going into learning more about the band, they're on there's a Nirvana tribute album that just came out called Whatever Nevermind.
Hmm.
It has, you know, Kalesa, Torch, Cave-In, Boris, a bunch of those, you know, sludgy-style bands. That sounds interesting. I want to hear that.
This album, like...
They do Come As You Are, by the way.
This is like, I don't know how to just... If you're into stuff that's like... it is melodic, I'll say that. But it is very much melodicism buried under layers of distortion and layers of weird effects and stuff like that. So you kind of have to have a little bit of patience for that style. But if you're into it, like if you liked any of the stuff that we played on our... Earlier in the year when we did our what we call that, our retro metal doom
right
episode,
yes, exactly,
with Maurice, you'll like this, and I was surprised at how much I like this. And it's not an album that I actually sit there and focus on and listen to when I'm listening to it. I just kind of put it on in the background doing other stuff, and I find myself kind of like, yeah, this sounds great, like headbanging a little bit. It's just
right.
Yeah, I don't know, it's surprisingly good. I guess they have new fans, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make some new fans for them. Let's play them. This is Kalesa. This is a song called Shaping the Southern Sky from the album from 2015, Exhausting Fire.
Catchy as hell, this song.
Yes, exactly. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we just listened to something from Kalesa. The song was Shaping the Southern Sky from the album Exhausting Fire.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted now.
They are, I guess, one of those, maybe like what, one of two bands I know comes from Georgia. The other being Theocracy from Atlanta.
Right.
It's not really a place I think of associated with metal bands.
I guess not, huh?
No, not really.
A lot of rap bands,
but yeah.
Groups.
Yeah. They definitely have a Southern influence to them, but I'm told that that Southern influence, like on the earlier albums, like shows up more. This is like them kind of, it does feel like they've kind of hit a point where they're branching out a little bit.
Experimenting a little bit.
I've listened to a little bit of the last album, and it's definitely, this is the album where it seems like they've sort of embraced more like alternative rock influences from the 90s, but don't let that scare you. It's just like, it's, you can hear it in, they've integrated with metal. There's heavy riffs on this album. We just happen to pick the song that is kind of the catchiest, the hyper catchiest. So
it's usually what will draw you into it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So 2015's wrapping up. A lot of good stuff to look forward to, man.
Yeah. The next time you hear from us, we're going to be throwing down the best of 2015.
Our 2015 rewind episode.
Yeah. No.
Episode, maybe.
It could be episodes. Coming. It usually is a two-parter, apparently. So I know it was last year. So
yeah. The last many, many years have been two-parters because we bring so much music to the table.
How can it not be with 2015? Because this. It was such an exhausting year for metal. I actually tallied up kind of like how many new albums I listened to this year. It was close to 120. Now, not 120 that I wrote about, but just 120 that I kind of had to cycle through. Like, okay, I have a folder for new music, and there are 120-ish folders in there, and I know I haven't listened to even all of them. So,
God, I'm looking into my list right now. And
that's a long list.
That's definitely more than 10.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very, very difficult thing to do.
We're going to have to plan this out meticulously. It'll be a little more of a, we're going to be regimented in that show. I think like moving through it as fast as we can.
I think so. We're going to have a lot of music to play.
Yeah.
Cause there was so many good albums this year.
Yeah.
But, so I guess that's pretty much it for this episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us with all these changes going on. I know we still have some RSS feed problems going on. I've been trying to take care of it. Anybody knows RSS feeds and how to fix it?
Yeah.
If you search for MSRcast on iTunes, there's two feeds. One is the old feed, which was run through Metal Injection, and the other one is the Metal Geeks feed. So you can go to that feed, the Metal Geeks /MSRcast, and get all of our brand new episodes. I'm trying to somehow get that old feed that points to Metal Injection. Haven't had much luck getting that fixed, so it's happening. It's going to happen sometime in the future. If you can help that, I'd be eternally grateful.
Yeah.
I will give you the horns eternally.
Yeah.
So where else can they find us? They can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram.
Yeah. You can find me at The Metal Pigeon on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Check out the Metal Pigeon's writings, the musings of The Metal Pigeon, as it were.
I just did a reviews dump yesterday. I'm going to have my best of stuff coming out in the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so much stuff. He's a phenomenal writer. That's one of the reasons I'm really excited to have him on the show, because I look like an idiot when it comes to Sean's writing. So
I don't think so.
I do.
You're nodding vigorously.
Yes.
We got to give a shout out to that guy who emailed us from Australia.
Yes.
Who said that he was listening to our show like on his commutes. And I was thinking about that. I feel bad for not putting out more episodes, because like, he's like, are you listening to, I don't know. Shout out to that guy. Cause like, I hope you're not listening to the same ones over and over again. If you're just going backwards in time.
He just likes the dulcet sound of our voices, man.
Mine's
a little bit more dulcet tonight because I am a little bit sick, so.
It'll warm my heart if, like,
when
he sees, like, his iTunes feed, like, pop up with a new episode of this, he'll be like, finally, you know?
Yeah.
Something for the drive between, like, Sydney and Perth. I don't know where he's going. I'm just making that up.
It takes a lot longer to get there in Australia because it's further away.
Yeah, we've gotten some messages from people on Facebook, too.
Yeah, like, we love the interaction. So,
yeah.
Like, message us on Facebook. We will talk back to you. Send us an email if you want, msrcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Twitter, you can find both of us. You can find at msrcast, at Metal Geeks. You can find at the Metal Pigeon. What is your Twitter? At the Metal Pigeon?
At the Metal
Pigeon. The Metal Pigeon. Find us, talk to us, talk metal
to
us.
If you say something to me, I will say something back.
That's right.
Yeah, I am attention-seeking.
You're a whore, admit it. You're an attention whore. Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
That's why we're on social media,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, going into the 10th year of this show, my dog agrees.
Yeah.
She's happy for that. She sort of clapped in her own way. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up. We're going to, like we said, our New Year's resolution, more episodes for you, more Metal Geeks episodes down the road.
Yeah.
We just did a really cool episode where we spoiled the fuck out of The Force Awakens. So.
Yeah, it was a great episode, too. Good discussion. And Metal Geeks has been on a roll. Like, you guys have been kicking them out.
Yeah.
Getting them out there.
Let me get you on that show more. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Get you in your geek mode.
Yeah. And we keep saying we're going to bring Dave in for one of these.
I think we're going to bring Dave into our rewind episodes. Maybe not both of them, but one of them.
I want that to happen. Yeah.
You hear that, Dave? You the call has been put out to you.
Yeah. You better be listening to the show, Dave.
That's right.
Wherever he is, he's like, Dave, I'm listening to it.
Dave's not here, man. So, thanks for tuning in to MSRcast episode number 177. We will see you on our 2015 rewind.
Yep.
Wait, one more last thing to say?
Keep it metal.
And?
Keep it goofy.
Keep it metal.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.